Hey guys, if you'll take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3. We're going to, tonight, we'll finish this, or finish up some of this tonight. So if you want to hear the latter part of that, of this message, you'll have to come back tonight at 6 o'clock. But Danny McNeil is a good friend. He is also Miss, as we just baptized his granddaughter last week, Miss Emma. That's his granddaughter. And he asked me, he said, hey, you know, he did a little project and put some things down. I know he's served you guys here and sung and led you. And he has put a little project together, and it's on a CD. And he said, I just feel weird about that. I said, brother, I don't feel weird about that at all. You just bring me the CD and let me be your advocate. And he has it, and it's here, and he has it. If you want to pick up a copy of that, you can. And you can see him after church. He'll be in the foyer, so do that. Honor him as he served you, and help him out. He has this project, and it'll be a blessing in your life as well. How about that? Amen? Amen. Take your Bible, Joshua chapter number 3, and find that place, and let's stand and read God's word together. Joshua chapter number 3. This is one of my favorite passages in Joshua. When the children of Israel finally get, you know, it's a 2-year journey from when they came out of Egypt until up until the point they reached Jordan River. It's about a 2-year journey. It's been 42 years now. I can't say that enough. It's been 42 years, and they're finally about to claim what has been given to them and go into that promised land that God has already given them. What should have been a 2-year journey has turned into a 42-year wandering. And that's no good. So let's read the Word of God together. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, 2 million plus folks, don't know exactly, but we estimate that number, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. That's how they've lived for 40 plus years. They would say, hey, we're leaving in 3 days. They tear down the tabernacle, and when the tabernacle moved in the ark of the covenant, they left in their file and rank and tribe, and that's how they've lived for 42 years. So this is nothing new to them. This is nothing new. This is not out of the ordinary or anything else. This is a normal day in the life of the Israelites as they have tried to follow God. So the story goes on. There shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. If you do the math, 18 inches is about a cubit. If you do the math times 2,000, it comes out to about 3,000 feet. It's over a half a mile. Why a half a mile? The Ark of the Covenant is going to be out there a half a mile. Remember, it's 2+ million people. They got to be able to see, so they got to leave enough distance. Plus, there's also this idea of being so familiar with God, or being too familiar with God, that we don't honor Him anymore. You hear people talk about the man upstairs. I think that's disrespectful. I don't think he's the man upstairs. He's not some doting grandfather sitting in a rocking chair, growing old with age and kind of getting, you know, wearing out. But he's Almighty God, El Shaddai, amen, Jehovah Jireh, all those things. And he ought to be honored like that. Amen. So the familiarity, not to get so close and so familiar. Remember when they put the Ark on the Covenant, when David was bringing it back and it was teetered on a cart and somebody reached to stable it? What happened to them? God killed him. God killed him. And sometimes we get so comfortable and so familiar with God that we don't honor Him. We don't fear Him anymore. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? That's what the Scripture says. So it says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And then there's a comma, and then that phrase that is so important in the text, it says, for you have not passed this way before. They've been wandering around that same rock for 42 years, but they've not crossed Jordan and entered into the land that God's given them yet. So you must follow God when you don't know the way. Amen? There's something to that. And all I know for me today is today. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds it in His hand. Amen? And as long as I follow Him, I told somebody, you know, folks, when I just left the hospice industry, they said, what in the world are you doing? They said, what you're going to go do an interim and you're going to leave your work. What are you going to do when that interim's over? I said, listen, I have one master. Amen? And we're going to follow Him. He's not let us down, and He has never before, and He won't now. Amen? I just believe that. I know that sounds crazy, but we've lived our whole life like that. Our whole career, God has provided for us. So read on. It says, and then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, verse 5, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And Joshua said, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. If you'll flip over and look at verses 14, I want you to see just a few verses here. It says, so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those people who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark, dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap far away at Adam, as far away as at Adam, the city that is beside Zartan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabia and the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. We ask that you speak to us now. We ask that, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to convey your ideas, what you want us to say today, and that you get the glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. You know, last week I was teaching, and I said something. I said something about, you know, when in that little children's animated movie, The Prince of Egypt, and they went through the dry. Moses stood and raised his hands, and God parted the Red Sea, and they went through on dry ground. And I said, you know, in that little animated series, there's that lightning flash and that whale that swims by. And if I'd have been there, I'd have wanted to kind of poke at the whale. Brother Larry sent me this past week. Can y'all see that? He said there's one in every crowd. That's good, isn't it? I laughed. I sent him back. I texted him right back, and I said, "You are so right." Amen. I mean, just throw the fishing in the waves right there, or whatever. That is so awesome. But I love the story because it says that this is another Red Sea episode. The Jordan River is overflowing, and it's about 30 some odd yards wide. Not very wide at all. Would have been, you know, just nothing for the children to go across. But it happens to be at harvest time, so now this little Jordan River has swollen to about a mile wide. About a mile wide. So when they come to the edge of the Jordan, it's not some little meaningless task for them to cross over. They're going to need supernatural intervention one more time, just like they did when they came out of Egypt. And so that's kind of where the story is headed. When the Lord brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, He led them toward the promised land, and it took them, should have been about a 2-year trip, and they made that trip, but they didn't go in, right? They spied the land out, and they said, hey, two guys said, let's go in because it's good land, it's our land. And the other spies said, no. I think there's giants in the land and there's everything else in the land, and we just don't think that we can do this. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 some odd years after that. And during that time, the Lord gave them His, in that first initial trip, in that first 2 years, He gave them His law. He taught them how to worship. He taught them how to honor Him. See, because they didn't know any of that. They didn't know how to do any of that. They've been slaves in Egypt. They didn't know anything. They didn't know how to worship. They didn't know how to follow. They didn't know how to do anything except just be a slave and make bricks and block and everything else. And so God's teaching them how to honor Him, how to worship Him, how to give Him that all that they had. And so in that first 2 years, that's what's happening. But instead of going forward in faith, the people refused to claim their inheritance, and they turned back and they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And Moses had funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral for 40 years. It's a sad, sad story. But I want to say this to you. You said, well, how does that make any application for me today? And I want to say that I think every person here faces our own Jordan from time to time. We got our own problems. We got our own difficulties. We got things that sometimes pop up in our life that are bigger than us, that are bigger than any, you know, anything we've ever faced before or any situation that we've been through before. And I want to say to you that if you're going to get through that, and you're going to get through that with some success and enter into that spiritual victory that God's called you and I to walk in, then we need supernatural intervention in our lives. Amen? We need somebody to go before us and step out there in front of us and where the waters apart, where I can walk through on dry ground in faith and believe that God's in control. Amen? Everybody needs that. Everybody faces that. Everybody's going to face that. Sometimes it's going to be work and jobs and home and relationship and all kinds of situations are going to come up, and sickness and illness. And you know, Kelly and I have been walking with this family in Gadsden, Alabama now for quite some time, and their 9-year-old, she succumbed to leukemia last week, and 9 years old. 9 years old, and that family's devastated. They you know, they're just devastated. A 9-year old that has lost its life to leukemia, and they're not sure where to go. And I promise you this, they feel like they're facing something that's a mile wide and 1,000 feet deep, and they don't know how they're going to get from one side to the other. Amen. But when God goes before you, amen, it's easy to do. It may not be easy for you, but it's easy for Him to do as He goes before you. And we're going to give you some very simple examples of how we're going to get there this morning with the time that we have. So today I want to talk to you as we watch Israel move past their Jordan. And as we do, I would like to offer you some hope. The strategies that God gives to the children of Israel over 3,000 years ago. The strategies that God has given the children of Israel over 3,000 years ago, guess what? They still work and apply in my life and your life today. Amen? I'm going to make them very clear, very clear. It's not something that you got to be, you say, well, I hope I can understand, or I hope I can gather, I hope I can get that, or hang on to that. Listen, this is so simple. This is so simple that everybody will understand, down to the smallest child. Everybody will understand these strategies that God has given the children of Israel over 3,000 years ago, and they're still applicable for you and I today. Okay? So with that said, there is a message to consider. Your outline is in your worship guide. If you want to write down a little, you know, fill in the blanks, it's there, and I would encourage you to do that. In verses 1 through 13, there's a message to consider. In verses 3 and 4, the message involved a challenge. Notice with me again, if you go back and look at the text, it says, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, in verse number 3, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, you shall set out from your place and go after it. Now, listen, everybody's there. Everybody's there. And everybody sees the river at flood stage. Everybody sees the obstacle in front of them. Everybody knows the dangers of crossing that water at flood stage. Everybody knows the probability. Nobody has to give them statistics. They go, what about the livestock? Are they going to make it? What about the weak? Or how about the old? Or what are we going to do about the young? And we're going to cross this river at flood stage. Everybody knows this. Nobody has to be told what the situation's like because they can see it with their own eyes. Right? You remember when we were having all the rain back? I know it's been some time since it's rained, right? But remember back when we were having all the rain, December, January, February, March? In Sardis, Alabama, I think we got well over a year's rain in about 3.5 months. I mean, it was unbelievable. Kelly and I went up to the dam here in Gunnersville. Anybody see the dam and its flood state, I mean, at the height of that? It was amazing. They talked about how many cubic millions of gallons of water coming through the locks per second. I just, I just cannot even understand that. I don't fathom that. My mind doesn't work. I'm not a mathematician. And that's not my thing. But I cannot even. All I know is when I stood on the edge of that river and watched that water come through those gates, it was some more impressive. Amen. Now, it wasn't even a mile wide. We're talking about a river that's a mile wide, and they're told that, hey, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God move, you gather up your stuff and move with us because that's what God said do. Everybody knows the obstacle. Everybody knows the situation. And they're thinking already, they're going, really? That's what we're supposed to do? That's how we're supposed to follow? And I say to you this morning, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you'll go through. I don't know what tomorrow holds in your life and your family's life. But I promise you this. Someone said that we're either in the storm, going through the storm, coming out of the storm, something like that. I don't know, but I know life is kind of like that from time to time. You know, sometimes things are good. Sometimes things are not so good. Sometimes things just really stink. Amen? They just do. That's just kind of how it goes from time to time. But I promise you this, no matter what you face or what you're going through or what you will go through, as long as you acknowledge the strategy that God has for us, I believe that you and I will make it through, on through to the promised land. Amen? We'll make it over there. We'll make it through, and we'll live in the victory that God has for us to live in if we follow Him and do what He says for us to do. So there was a message to consider, and the message involved a challenge. When it came time for the people to leave, here's what they're told. Three things. And I want you to see them with me real clearly this morning and write them down for yourself. This is so important. So important. Number one, he says, here's what you got to do. You have to watch God. I know that's overly simplistic, but you have to watch God. Anybody ever do, what's that Blackaby study that he did? Experiencing God. Anybody ever do Experiencing God? Miss Naomi, you did. Anybody else? Anybody do that? Experiencing God, Bible study. One of the coolest things in that Bible study that Henry Blackaby said, he says, you know, instead of us always trying to figure out what we're supposed to do next and how we're supposed to go, maybe we ought to see what God is doing and join Him in that. Amen? Instead of trying to invent the wheel all over again, let's see what God is doing and let's join Him in that. And so here's the idea. They're saying, this river is a mile wide at flood stage. And they're standing there and they're thinking, oh my goodness. He says, when the ark moves, we got to move. And they're already wondering, how in the world are we going to do this? So Joshua says, here is the strategy as we move forward. Watch God. Notice that the Ark of the Covenant, it's mentioned seven times in chapter number 3. Seven times in chapter number 3. The ark, you may remember, was that special place of the tabernacle furniture that symbolized the presence and the power of God. It was that piece of furniture that is said that is where the presence and the power of God preside. It was between those cherubim, those figures that were molded out of gold and over that mercy seat that covered the Ark of the Covenant with the articles inside. It was there that the presence and the power of God would be on display. So when you see the presence and the power of God move, watch God. Amen? Watch Him and follow Him. And that's the next of the strategy. He says, watch. And there's a valuable lesson, for you and I in the passage. We would do well when we face times of crisis or when we need direction in our life to be sensitive to the movement of the Lord around us. I think if you and I learn how to see what God is doing and see which way He's moving, instead of always trying to go in our own direction, anybody like to go your own way? I think it's just a human thing, isn't it? Isn't it just kind of a human thing that we all kind of like to go our own way? A bunch of guys in the room this morning, nobody liked to ask for directions. No guy, I got a GPS. Now, I promise you, you come to my house with your GPS and you're going to turn out in the middle of the cornfield. Because it ain't getting you there. So a GPS isn't fail-proof. We trust it like it is today. Oh, I got GPS. My car's got GPS. I got a new car. It's got GPS. I don't need no stinking directions. Guess what? You get some places, you don't even have cell service. So your GPS sometimes don't work if you're trusting that phone. You ain't even got GPS. So I think we do well to learn to watch God and see when He's moving. When we're going through a crisis or a time of decision or a time of direction in our life, watch God. When He moves, we should move. And I think that's valuable. The second thing He says in the strategy is to follow God. Follow God. Watch God and then follow God. When you see the Ark of the Covenant moon, follow after it. Follow after it. So watch. I know this is so simple. It's so simple. But He says watch God. And then He says follow God. When they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, they were to leave that place and go after it. Not only were they to watch, they were to move when God moved. They were to pursue God. And again, the lesson for you and I as believers and followers of Jesus Christ is, isn't it enough just to know what God is doing? There comes a time when we got to leave that place and we got to follow after God. Amen? Sometimes you got to pick up and you got to follow your God. And even if you don't know what tomorrow holds or what that's going to look like. I love those people. I just found out this past week that the church has an individual family that taught Sunday school here that are on the mission field and they're in Papua New Guinea. And I'm going to be trying to get in touch with those folks. They taught Sunday school here, right here in First Baptist Church of Grant, Alabama, and they're in Papua New Guinea. I saw their video this past week where what they're doing in Papua New Guinea, how they got on that little bitty place, that little bitty island, some 700 to 800 different languages that they're translating the Bible into the language of those people groups and all these missionaries there in Papua New Guinea. And somebody from Grant, Alabama, not originally, but came through Grant, Alabama and taught Sunday school and was in this church, is in Papua New Guinea serving the people group, the indigenous people group of Papua New Guinea, and giving their life to that. I think these are people that watched what God was doing and followed no matter what the cost was. I'm not saying everybody's got to go to the mission field, but you and I would learn to, we would move into that living in victory in our life if we watch God and we follow when He says go. Amen. Sometimes we, again, are individuals and we like to make our own plans and make our own decisions and say, this is what I'm doing. This is how I've got it figured out. This is what I'm doing next. And sometimes maybe that's totally contrary to what God says. So He says, watch God. Then He says, follow God. And then He says, honor God. Notice that the Israelites are told to stay 3,000 feet back. And I've already alluded to that a minute ago. That was so that they could easily see what was happening. But another reason is that they didn't want anyone to, no one but the Levites to be near the ark. To get too close would have meant death. And I say this to you this morning, that sometimes when we don't honor God in the right way, and we're disrespectful as we approach Him, and we're disrespectful in how we honor Him. Again, He's not some great big guy, some old man upstairs, or some doting grandfather in the rocking chair, or just, you know, the man up in the sky or something like that. He's Almighty God, and He always will be, and He is all-powerful. He's everywhere all at the same time. He knows all things. He is all-powerful. And He ought to be honored and respected like that. Amen? And we live in a day today when folks have so little regard for who God is. The disrespect and the dishonor. It's amazing to me. The way people talk and the way they you know, the way they talk about Him and about who He is and about His power. I want to say this to you, I'd be very afraid of that, very, very afraid. Again, the lesson for us is that we must never be guilty of treating God like one of our buds. Amen? I mean, He's my Father. I cry out, Abba, Father, as I approach Him. But He and I are not best buds. We're not best friends. We're not homies or anything else. Where He's God and I'm not. Amen? And I'm going to honor Him and respect Him like that. Because He's all-powerful. And He's worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Amen? For Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Amen. He alone is worthy. No one else. So He says, honor God. There was a message that involved a challenge. And then the message involved a command. And we're going to finish up right here. With the time we have this morning, we'll finish up the rest of it tonight. But the message involved a command. Notice with me in the text again. In verse number 5, watch God, follow God, and keep your distance. Honor Him in a way that's pleasing and honoring to Him. But then in verse 5 he says, then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The message involved a command, and the command was to sanctify yourself. And that idea, this refers to being sure that you were clean and as holy as possible. Now, we're not talking about showering. Teenage boys need to shower every day. Amen? There's no doubt about that, isn't it, Coach? I mean, boys just stink. Oh my goodness gracious. They just do. But we're not talking about just showering. We're not talking about getting in the shower and showering your hair, washing your hair, bathing yourself. We're talking about sanctify yourself, making sure you're as clean and holy as possible. Where? On the inside, right? Not the outside. I bet the Israelites stunk too. I bet you might order, you might could even smell them before you ever saw them. Maybe. I mean, there's 2 million plus folks. You might have could have smelled them before you ever saw them. I mean, because again, there wasn't a lot of showers and truck stops along the way where they could get a number and go in and take a shower, right? And they wandered in that arid, dry, hot place for 40 plus years, and their clothes didn't wear out. It didn't say nowhere that their clothes didn't stink. It says they didn't wear out. I bet you, just knowing human beings, I bet you probably could smell them before you ever saw them. Chances are. So when he's saying you got to cleanse yourself or sanctify yourself, there's probably some people like, amen. Woo, Lord. It's time. Everybody needs a shower. But that's not what he's talking about. He says, be clean and as holy as possible on the inside. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord. They were to examine themselves and get ready for what the Lord was going to do among them. It says that when God moves, when you see God move, watch God. When you see Him move, follow. When you follow God, honor Him. And when you honor Him, it says He's going to do something amazing in your presence that you're going to go, wow. Guess what? That's true today. Amen? That's true today. When I watch God and I see what He's doing out there, and I'm going to join Him in that, and I'm going to follow when He says move, and I'm going to, my kids on my school bus in the mornings, I unload my school bus with great efficiency because that's the way I like things. From back to front. Got a little bus captain, checks those bus seats, because every day in the news you see where another school bus driver's left a kid on the bus somewhere. They call that the million-dollar look, right? You got to look. Make sure. But I unload that from back to front, age-graded, with someone that's making sure that no one's left on the bus with great efficiency. And there's crazy Brother Chuck in the driver's seat with the microphone singing, I like to move it, move it. Move it, move it. You know why? Because I want them to move it and get it off my bus where I can go. That's what's happening here. When God says we need to watch, when He moves, we need to move it, move it. Amen? We need to follow Him. And He says, when I do those kind of things and I honor Him the right way, guess what He said He'd do in my presence? Wonders. You'll say, well, that's God of yesterday. I say to you, I don't believe that for one second. I think the God of yesterday is the same God today. Amen? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I think probably the problem is maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's all of us collectively together. We've just not watched like we should. We certainly haven't followed as He's moved. And wow, what about the honor part? We kind of give Him some of our leftovers. then we wonder why we don't see the wonders of God anymore. I still think it's possible. Amen. I still believe in the Great Awakening. I still believe the last one that we know of record, 1904 in Wales, when the Great Awakening, it started with one guy that had a burden for a spiritual awakening and one guy that preached a message to a handful of young people, and they said, I just believe that I can submit my life to that. And as they submitted their life to that, it said that God began to do a great work, and he did such a work in the countryside that the whole countryside was changed as a result of one man's burden for spiritual awakening. And it says that people were saved by the thousands and hundreds of thousands, and how the mules didn't even work anymore in the mines because the miners used to cuss and rant and rave, and they couldn't understand this new language of love and compassion that came out of these men's mouth, and the police didn't have anything to do, and the story goes on. Why? Because one guy and a group of people said, I believe God can do wonders among us again. I still believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd have stopped doing it a long time ago. I believe revival can start right here in Grand, Alabama, and spread all over the world. You said, that sounds crazy to me. What sounds crazy to me is that we don't believe that anymore. Watch God, follow Him and honor Him. And sanctify ourselves to the point where we're going to be as clean. Listen, it doesn't mean you're going to be sinless and perfect. Nobody is. But it means every day I'm trying. I'm striving to be. I want to be living that state of I want to be right with you, God, as much as I possibly can from moment to moment to moment. In our 21 days of prayer, when it talked about revival, I drew a big circle in my thing back there and wrote my name in the middle of it. I said, Lord, if there's going to be a revival, it's got to start right here inside this circle with me. And when we all have that attitude, it'll be amazing what God can do. The message involved a command: sanctify yourself. If you and I ever expect to get past the Jordans that arise in our life, we're going to have to learn that one of the first things that we got to do is examine our life and see where we are. You see, sometimes those Jordan experiences are of my own making. Everybody go like this, right? Right. But if we take examination of our life, God said He'd show us those areas of our life that need changing. And the message involved a commitment. And this is the last thing. The message to the Israelites reminded them. He said that getting across the Jordan did not rest on their shoulders. That's what I love about the passage. In verses 9 through 13, we didn't read it all. But if you go back and you read that, so Joshua commanded the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And he says, here's what I want you to do, is realize that you getting across this Jordan, it's not going to be because somebody comes up with a great idea. Here's what we can do. We can build a bunch of rafts and we'll just float across. That's sometimes that's what we do in Baptist church. We go, instead of doing it God's way, we'll just say, how can we circumvent that? Because that seems like a whole lot of trouble to kind of do it God's way. It's very invasive. It's very intrusive into our lives. We don't want the Holy Spirit of God invading in our life and exposing our sin. How can we do it differently? But here's what they said. The message of the Israelites reminded them that getting across the Jordan didn't rest on their shoulders, but on the Lord's. It's His plan to get them across the Jordan. It was His plan from the very beginning. He would have done this 40 years ago, but they refused. So He makes them a promise, and He tells them that He'll bring them through in a powerful fashion. They still don't know what it is up to this point. They just know that when God moves, we're to follow. We're to follow at a distance, and that somebody's going to be the first one to step out in that water. What is God going to do? See, some of these people were very young when they came through the Red Sea. Maybe some have even forgotten. I'm sure others tried to remind them, but I believe some may have forgotten. I want to say to you in closing this morning, I don't think that God has changed one bit. If God could be trusted in those days to keep His promises, amen, I believe that He can be trusted today to keep His promises. Amen. We are unable to get past the obstacles in our lives because we live a life that sometimes exhibits a deep lack of faith of the promise of God. But I promise you this, God can be trusted. Amen? And if He said He'll do that, He said He would. And so we don't have to worry about that. We worry over, remember what I said the other day? Worry, if you crawl on that rocket horse of worry, where is that going to get you? You get on the rocket horse, where does that get you? Nowhere. Right? I mean, wear out a spot in the carpet maybe, but that's about it. Nowhere. And I said to you not long ago, I said, if you know how to worry, and all of us do in this room, amen? If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Fix your mind and your eyes on the things of God and ponder that over and over and over again. And meditate there. You know, we worry over tomorrow. The Lord's promised that He'd give us all of our provisions for tomorrow. We worry over material things, and the Lord's promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. We worry about facing various things in life, and the Lord's promised that He'd always be with us and go with us and never forsake us, and He would always be our protector and our shield. We worry over so many things, yet the Lord's promised us that all of our worrying is just basically sin, and that our duty is simply to trust Him. Amen? And the bottom line is that Jesus is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. And He knows that what you're going through. He knows everything that you're about to face. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about what you're going to go through. And here's what He said. He said, you're going to just live by faith. And when I move, you move. You follow me. And you honor me. And you cleanse yourself and sanctify yourself. And I'll do wonders among you. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? What a promise. Churches today are still looking for the formula for success. They're trying to plug it in somehow. If we do this, this will happen. If we do this, this will happen. If we do this, this will happen. And I say, I'm not against the doing. But I think if all the doing leaves God out, then it's useless and it's futile. Amen? A surefire way to have success and victory, individually and collectively, is watch God. When He moves, follow. Honor Him. Cleanse yourself. And then He said He'd do wonders among you. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to study Your Word for a few minutes. We're going to continue that thought, that train of thought tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord, we pray this morning for everyone that's here. We know we've got lots of folks away today, various reasons. But Lord, for us that are in this place today, Lord, examine us. As the psalmist said, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, it's not a right attitude. It's not a right behavior. It's not a right thought process. It's not an honoring process. My life has become something that is, it's just a shell of who I used to be and how I used to follow. And You say today, watch me. And follow when I move. And honor me and cleanse your heart afresh and anew, and that you would do wonders among us. May we make that kind of commitment today, collectively and individually. Have your way in our hearts and lives today, Father. If there's things in our life that's not pleasing to you, Lord, if it's a hindrance to revival in our personal life, in the life of the church, in this whole Acts 1:8 thing, Father, help us to be broken by that, Father, that we want to see you pour out your power on this place again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Stand and sing with us this morning.